Hello, and thank you once again for joining us on K-Pop Cosmos. Apparently, I cannot talk today, so I'm sorry, everyone. And joining me once again is my co-host, Mark. How are you doing, Mark?
I am good, Freya. I am very excited about this episode, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So today we are talking about a very special group. They are legends in the K-pop community. And whether you love them or hate them, you gotta admit they deserve that status. And they are South Korea's national girl group. So yeah, it's amazing. They still call out other groups national prides, but they are still the nation's girl group. And of course, we're talking about Girls' Generation. So Girls' Generation is a second generation group, which once again, I'm kind of biased towards considering I started listening to K-pop during the second generation. So a lot of these groups are very near and dear to me. So Girls' Generation, they debuted back in 2007. So that's well over 10 years. And I believe their debut song was A New World, which was adorable. and I love looking back on these groups that have so much history, because you can see from, like, I think I've said this before, from their first music video, you can watch all of them all the way up to, like, nowadays. You're like, oh, they're not even the same people anymore. So
yeah. You know, I did go back and revisit their first music video. And one of the things I loved is, first off, they're so tiny. They're just like the tiniest little things in the world in that video. And also seeing them use like flip phones gives you a good idea of like how long ago that video came out. They've been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 2007. That's what, 12, 13 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're still around. I believe their last comeback was 2 years ago, 2017, 2018. I think that was their last comeback. And I think they haven't disbanded technically. They are, I believe, on a hiatus or something. So that can either mean they're going to disband once their contract with SM is up, or they're just taking a break. So, I mean, for Girls' Generation fans, we're all hoping that it's just taking a break. But we shall see. Hiatuses are kind of scary. So, yeah,
I do know that they all just, the remaining members under SM just recently renewed their contract. I think probably within like 3 to 4 months ago. So technically, they're still together. There's still a Girls' Generation in the universe.
Okay, good. Because, yeah, I knew that their contract was coming up on the expiration date. So having them re-sign is, well, they are still around. So no need to worry, I guess. So anyway, their fandom name is Seon. I believe I'm saying that. I've always called it Seon. So if it's not how you pronounce it, I apologize. But that's just how I always call them. And their colors are a pastel rose pink color. And like you said, they used to have nine members, and I think they're down to 8 or 7.
Well, technically, if you count all of the official members, it's 8, but only 5 of them are under contract with SM.
Yeah, that's what it is. Because Tiffany's So-young and So-hyun? I'm sorry, I'm so bad at names. And I know that are not under SM anymore, because Tiffany is over here in the States, in the US, and she's touring around doing her thing.
Yep.
And I know that Jessica left in 2014. And that was a huge scandal. Were you around for that whole situation with Jessica?
You know what's funny is that when that happened, that was when I had right towards the beginning of the other podcast I do, the Soul Wizard podcast. And when that happened, it was huge news to me, but no one on my show other than Joey knew what I was talking about. And it was a huge moment in K-pop history. So yeah, I remember like being at the beginning of our run at Soul Wizard. So that would have been 6 years ago. And me just like, I can't believe this happened. And all my co-hosts like, what are you talking about? What is Girls' Generation? What are you talking about? They had no idea. So yeah, I was around for that.
Yeah, it was kind of, I remember it being a really messy situation. I remember she said that it had to do with her opening a clothing line, or right? I'm remembering that correctly.
Yeah, she started her own label, which she did eventually launch like all over like in America and in Korea. So she did finish her label, but one of the things that I realized is that fashion has its own season and its own time. Like there's a schedule that you have to keep in order to be a part of the fashion world. And I'm gonna say that her ideas and her designs to launch this fashion label conflicted with her schedule in being in Girls' Generation. So I believe that's where the conflict came up. They wanted her to be a part of an album, probably a tour, probably some already set promotions at a certain time, and she had to launch her fashion label and had to be launched by a certain time in order to compete in Fashion Week and all of the fashion schedules. So I'm assuming that's where the rift happened.
Yeah, because I remember I watched an interview. I don't remember if it was a recent interview or what, but she was actually talking about that. And she said that she had already talked to SM about the clothing label situation and whatnot. And they said, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Because she wasn't going to do it if it meant getting kicked out of the group. And so she had already gotten the okay from her members and SM. And so when she did it, she said that she got a letter telling her that she was kicked out of the group, and she was completely devastated because she had already talked to them about it and that they said it was okay, but that they changed their minds. And so I was like, this whole situation's messy. And so it's like, do I believe SM or do I believe Jessica? Because, and I kind of lean towards believing her because second generation groups had to deal with a lot of crap with their companies. And I mean a lot, and I can go into more depths with that with a different group, because these second geners, they really had to fight a lot of horrible things that were being done to them. I think even like Tiffany, she's very vocal about like the mistreatment of the idols, especially the female idols in the K-pop community. And how they like the restricting the food and whatnot. Like she couldn't even choose what she could eat, and she was deathly skinny, and like she looks fantastic now. I don't know if you've seen pictures of her recently, but she has like she's fleshed out, but she's fleshed out in a really, really good way. Like she looks amazing. At least the most recent picture I saw of Tiffany, but I'm not sure. But yeah, like that's why I think I also like these second gen groups so much, is that they fought tooth and nail with their companies for like even basic like human rights, sort of things. And without them, third and fourth generation groups would not have the liberties or freedoms that they do. I mean, they're still very heavily restricted, but it's a lot better than it used to be. So I guess that's why I like these groups so much. Anyway, getting out of the gloom. So apparently Jessica wrote a young adult novel. Did you know that?
Yeah, I just found out about that recently. There was an interview with her that popped up on one of my apps, and I'm like, oh, I wonder how old this was. And I saw it was from this year. I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, she has a book out that talks about life as a K-pop star, even though it's fictional. So yeah, I'm considering buying it, maybe.
Apparently, Netflix has already made plans to turn it into a movie.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It's gonna be a Netflix movie, so that'll be very interesting. And I believe she's on Forbes's list of 30 Asian, what was it? A com 30 under 30 Asian list. Let's see. So entrepreneur Forbes's 30 under 30 Asia list featuring the most accomplished people of the ascendant generation. So she's on a list of like the most accomplished people under the age of 30 as of like I think that was 2017 that came out. So she's making waves on her own, which good for her, good for Jessica, and good for everyone. So back to the group itself, because I know I'm going off on Jessica a lot. I like Jessica, in case you haven't noticed. I really liked her. She was also a Korean American. I believe Tiffany was also Korean American. And so this is also one of those groups that had a mixture between a foreign and native Koreans. And oh yeah, Sunny is also I think she's still part of the group. She's also from California, so they have a lot of Americans in this group. And oh yeah. Yeah, Tiffany is also from Cali, so they're killing it. And they are, like I said, they're the South Korea's nation's girl group. And I know that we talked about Red Velvet, and I believe Red Velvet's called the nation's pride or something, which is also very, very great for them. It's very accomplished. You know, you made it big when your government's like, we're gonna give you a title. I love it. And they have won so many awards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like they've won so many freaking awards. Girls' Generation. Because when I first got into like, yeah, they won over 120 awards and they were nominated over 200 times.
Oh my God, it's insane.
So, and I remember when I first started getting into K-pop, and just watching just Korean television, they were every. I couldn't watch a single show that didn't have like G or Mr. or Genie. Everywhere, always like, oh, they were always talking about Girls' Generation, always dancing to Girls' Generation. They were constantly. I mean, it was either Girls' Generation or Wonder Girls. They were absolutely everywhere. And I think they even have one of my favorite commercials. Ironically enough, because I'm a weirdo and I watch foreign commercials just for kicks and giggles. But they did one with the super popular boy group at DBSK. I guess they're calling them TVXQ now. But they did that haptic phone commercial. Did you ever? Probably didn't see those because I'm weird. But
Oh no, I did see the chocolate, the LG chocolate phone video slash commercial.
yeah, I don't know if it was the LG one, but they did one where it was like certain members of Girls' Generation are in relationships with certain members of DBSK. Like all of the members of DBSK are dating. They're fighting over the Girls' Generation girls, except for Max. He's like the lone dude who's not like dating anyone. And I think Tiffany's being fought over by Yuno and Jaejong. It's just the commercials are absolutely ridiculous. It's one some of my favorites. However, because of that, they got because boy groups and girl groups aren't allowed to talk to each other, even for work. They got a lot of hate for that, because people thought that they were actually dating. How fans can be sometimes. But it's still some of my favorite. Like I have that stupid line always stuck in my head. Whenever I hear someone named Tiffany, it just like pops in my head because he's like, Fanny, Fanny, Tiffany.
So that's where I came from.
Every time I hear the name Tiffany, that just pops in my head. I'm like, oh, goals. So it's like, I mean, they did their job. It's stuck with me for freaking 10 years. So, I mean, oh my gosh. So it's but yeah,
So
I
I had a really interesting, my introduction into Girls' Generation was a little off kilter, because as I might have I mentioned before on the show, the group that put me down a rabbit hole of K-pop was Wonder Girls. So Wonder Girls is my ride or die girl group. Like, that's who was always going to be at the top of the list. And as I got into Wonder Girls, it became apparent that their rivals was Girls' Generation. So just out of that, I didn't like them.
Oh.
So I was, it's like, you can't be a Red Sox fan and a Yankees fan. You have to pick a team. So I'd already picked my team. I picked Wonder Girls.
Yeah.
So I resisted Girls' Generation for the longest time. And ironically, the day that I fell into the K-pop rabbit hole was January 1st, 2013, and that's the same day that Girls' Generation released "I Got a Boy," which kind of broke the internet when it came out. So there was no escaping them, even though I wasn't paying attention to them. There was no escaping them. But after probably about 6 months, I just couldn't. There's no way of getting around Girls' Generation. They were so huge, and I listened to the song "Genie," and that was it. It was pretty much a wrap after that. That was my jam, and I fell down the Girls' Generation rabbit hole. And then I just had to, I couldn't pick a side. I had to love them both. So Wonder Girls still number one, but Girls' Generation is like top five in there somewhere. Maybe top three.
Yeah. I like I said, 2NE1 is totally my girl group. I will forever love them. But yeah, Girls' Generation is one of my top five favorite. And I think, I don't know, I think it's something to do with the fact that they actually danced. They weren't just doing like cheerleader stuff. I mean, they do plenty of that, but you know, they actually did some like nice footwork and things. And I like how a lot of their, I'm kind of a techno-y fan, and they have a lot of heavier beats in a lot of their songs. Their songs, a lot of their songs are very much party songs, and they're like, yeah, fun. And I Got a Boy has so many change-ups in the music. I love it. So I think it like changes like three or four times, and then they go back, and then they go, you know, and I love that. I also like their music videos, because in I Got a Boy, it cracks me up because they're all dating the same guy. And you know, they do that, like other groups do that too, where they're like, oh, they have the group members as like one person. I think AOA kind of did something like this. They're all like one person, they're all dating the same guy, but they don't really make it seem like they're dating the same guy, that they're like one person, that the group members are all just one person. But in this one, like they're all dating the same guy, but then they find out, like one of the members finds out that they're dating the other guy because they catch him with the other member, and she goes up and like punches him in the face. The
Great.
music video, I'm like, yes, finally. Like they're not an amoeba of one person with like multiple personality disorder, but like they are actually different girls, and he's just dating all nine of them. Cracks me up. And then I think they're even like dissecting him in like Mr. Mister or something like that when they're all like in the doctor's office. So they're like cutting his heart out. But it was great. And I gotta admit, Genie is also one of my jams.
Yes.
It's a great song. I also, I'm a sucker for good costumery, and there's something about uniforms, like military uniforms, that look great, and their leg dance. So I like how they jump from like Navy to, you know, like ground forces and stuff, and they change that up. I like the outfits, and because you think Genie, and you're like, oh, they're gonna be in like, you know, like Arabian type gear, or you know, like friggin' Jasmine's outfit or something. But no, they went the whole like, no, I'm in military gear, which doesn't really make sense. But I really liked it, and that leg dance is still like, it's one of those dances that I still think they do on time to from time to time, because it's just so famous over in Korea. It's iconic at this point. Same with G. That song. where they're like mannequins and then they're all wearing the multicolored pants. And that started a huge phenomenon for like everyone wearing and buying those brightly colored pants, you know. I think they're back in style again. So like they were, even over here, like it took, there was a ripple effect. It took a little bit, but eventually that kind of made its way over here, style wise. But they have a lot of really fun songs. Like, oh, what was that song called? Holiday. No, not Holiday.
What, oh, oh yeah. One of their last ones.
Yeah. Holiday was really good. I was like, this is a fun song. This is great. And then I think there's one, I don't know if it was Holiday, because I'm thinking of the video and they're all just like, we're going to party and they're on a beach and they're wearing like their swimsuits. They're just chilling.
Yeah.
That one.
That was just all party.
That was party?
Yep.
Yeah. So I like, it was nice. I enjoy seeing people outside in their music videos and seeming like they're having a good time. But that's what I always associate with Girls' Generation is like, we're going to have a party, you know. The song may not be talking about a party, but it's very, like, powerful. And, like, Catch Me If You Can, which I have never seen them do construction worker attire before. And they did. And I was like, I kind of like it. I mean, they're dancing in front of a crane or, you know, a scoop, whatever they call it, the scoop things. And, like, this is a weird concept, but I'm living for it.
Yeah, now that I think about it, compared to their other videos, it is kind of a strange concept. But that song is so amazing. Like, that song kind of outshines that song, and their dance moves kind of outshines their settings, I think. Because there's one part of the video where there's a CG helicopter that flies by and switches it from day to night. And it's like, oh, that was weird. But, you know, whatever. Who cares? The dance scenes are, that was one of my favorite dance performances by them. I love that performance.
Yeah, it was really good. And like I said, they're one of the few girl groups who actually like does legitimate dancing. I mean, not saying that other girl groups can't dance. It's just, it's hard to dance in 6-inch heels, you know, in stilettos. So it's just, they're one of the few groups that actually does more dancing and less, you know, cheerleadery arm move things, which of course they still do, but they're doing more footwork, and I've already said this, and I'm repeating myself again.
But, and the fact that there's multiple members, like there's, you know, 8 of them now, even doing a choreography between 8 ladies and having it look cool on stage, they still managed to find a way to do that. There's some choreography in Lionheart, which is towards the end of their run, where they do like this line formation, and it's so cool. Every time I watch it, I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I don't know how much they had to practice to get that right, is where they all kind of line up and spin around, make like a long line, but the line kind of moves around the stage, and the one lead singer is not with the line, but by the time she finishes her verse, she is with the line, and it just kind of moves in one piece. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. So yeah, the fact that they can do that with so many members that deep into their careers is still amazing to me. I love them.
Yeah, and like I said, I am a sucker for good choreography. It doesn't have to be, you know, super complicated. It just has to be like, whew, you know, clean and clear, and it's cut and just uniform. And I love that, because they are, even in like some of their older videos. God, what was the one that they were cheerleaders? I'm so awful at remembering. Yep.
Was oh.
Oh yeah, I love that song too. They're one of the girl groups I actually like their songs. I'm like, this is stupid. No, I don't do girl groups, because I was like, I like that. But Oh was great. Their outfits were completely ridiculous. But there's so many of those choreography moments where they do that ripple effect where they go from one side to the other, and it's just crisp and clean. And I love that. I love it. And then also at the end of that, they have their evil versions pop up. I'm like, like, why does everyone love doing the evil versions? I mean, ATEEZ has their evil versions that are cowboys. And like, who came up with this? I don't even know if they're the first ones to do it, because I don't want to say they are, because I don't know if someone did before, but they are the earliest I've heard. because that came out in like 2010. So I think that's like the earliest I've ever seen, you know, evil version of a K-pop group appear in the music video to pick a fight with the others. It was very interesting. Also, I don't know. They're so catchy. It's just frustrating.
God, yeah. That was the issue. That was the thing that won me over. Genie is such a catchy song. Like, it was the song where I would play for people who didn't like K-pop, and I'm like, listen to the song. The song is amazing. And I remember hearing like it was G, that for some reason in Japan, that was everybody's ringtone. Like, everyone had the exact same ringtone, and it was always G, by Girls' Generation. So there was, you know, times where you could not escape that song if you tried. If you tried like hell, you couldn't escape that song because everyone was playing it.
I mean, if I had the ability to change my ringtone like I do now, I probably would have had it as my ringtone too. It's not that. Mine's an anime ringtone right now, but which is going to be equally annoying to some people. But like, yeah, I would have totally had G or Run Devil Run as my ringtone. Nice. Yeah, but also Girls' Generation. Did you ever hear about Taeyeon almost getting kidnapped while on stage during your performance?
I saw that. I actually remember seeing that when I was first getting into the group and just, you know, watching some of their interviews and stuff. I did see that clip, and that's one of the scariest things I've ever seen, like, on a K-pop scene.
Yeah. The whole time I was just like, where is security? Like, how did this man not only get up, like, behind, you know, backstage, but he got onto the stage and he grabbed Taeyeon, like, and proceeded to pull her off the stage. What member was it? Was it Jessica that turned around and grabbed her? Who? Someone turned around and, like, followed them off the stage.
Yeah,
like,
I think it was Haiyun that followed him. I think she was the one that was the closest one. Yeah. But yeah, they're on stage, they're performing a song, and suddenly a guy in a business suit comes out from behind the stage, grabs Taeyeon by the arm and starts pulling her off stage in the middle of their performance.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Sussings, man, they're scary. And that's why I always tell people, like, because K-pop's so addictive with, like, because they have so much you can watch and you can see them do their normal life stuff, and just there's so much content that you start feeling like you know these people, that, like, if you don't take time away from some of these groups, like if you're only into one group and you just spend all your time watching their stuff, like if you get to a point where you feel like you know the person and that you're friends with the person, and that, like, when you get to that point and you're thinking about them every day, you need to step away, because if you don't step away, it's a very thin line before you become one of these people, like this guy, and you try to kidnap or you follow them or you stalk them to their homes, or you send them period blood letters, which is disgusting and has happened, or, you know, like, because you're becoming too obsessed. And because K-pop is so addictive, as you probably well know as well, something you just got to step away.
It is kind of a double-edged sword, because their success kind of depends on your ability to fall in love with one of these many members of the group. Like, here's 9 girls. One of them is going to win your heart, and we want you to buy all of their merchandise. So they do kind of play up the fact that they want you to kind of, mm-hmm. you know, commit to them and join their and, you know, be their fan and have their name and wear their colors. But then it's a double-edged sword. When it goes too far, there has to be protection for them, for not just the girls, but any K-pop star.
Yeah, and That's why I was like, I was so shocked that the security didn't even like, I was like, where is security? But yeah, it's scary. It's scary for them. I also read somewhere that a lot of these K-pop stars actually, because of things like this, that a lot of them have social anxiety, and so they're terrified of people, which I completely understand because I was so scared too. Because I mean, they get followed and kidnapped, and people figure out their phone numbers and call them. It's terrifying, and so that's why I'm like I, and once again, if you because start feeling that you're too obsessed with someone and that you've never met before. Please, for your mental health and for like their safety too, just take a small break, breathe, ground yourself a little bit because it's very easy to, it's addictive and it's very easy. It's just like anything else. You become addicted to it, it's not good. So support them, love them, but realize you don't actually know these people. You're not their friend per se. So, I mean, it's a fine line, and if you really want to protect these people, protect yourself too, mentally. Sorry, I had a huge conversation with someone about like getting too obsessed over a K-pop idol, so it's still kind of fresh in my mind. So sorry, I don't mean to be preachy, but it's how I've gotten past like not feeling like jealous or something that one of my favorite idols is dating someone. So it's just. Because they have downtime, they have comebacks, and you can be super obsessive during the comeback and then you can step away when it's not comeback time. So but anyway, back to Girls' Generation because I'm going on tangents again. I'm so bad at staying on topic. So Girls' Generation, I also I'm gonna be a little superficial. I also really like them because they don't they don't heavily apply makeup, if that makes sense. Like they look very natural with their makeup, because some girl groups they do like crazy colors and stuff. You know what I mean? Like
You
you
know
can
what?
tell
I never
they
really
do.
noticed that before.
Yeah, they're very natural looking, for the most part. Like a lot of their music videos, no one has like. Well, except for Party, but she looked great in the red hair. But like most of the time, they don't have the crazy hair colors or the crazy hairstyles. They just look very much like girl next door or someone you'd meet. They're very, very pretty girls. And even, I mean, yeah, sometimes their outfits are a little bit crazy. But yeah, they very much have that girl next door vibe going on, which I think is also what contributed to their popularity, because I don't know, it's just something about seeing someone who looks more. I mean, they're putting more makeup on now because they're getting older, and as you get older, I mean, I've noticed that at least for idols, they seem to do that. Plus, it's also kind of the style, but they're very, very natural, and I like that a lot. So I'm like, oh, she's cute, and you can even watching like their old music videos, you can instantly tell who's who. Even though they're so like baby, they're like, oh, you look like middle schoolers, you're so little, but you're not. You're so tiny. But then it kind of's like I want to protect you type of a thing. But even in their newest music video, you can still be like, that's so and so, and that's so and so, and that's so and so, because they don't cake on the makeup and they don't have any crazy anything going on. It doesn't you instantly know who it is. It doesn't take you out because you have to look through the makeup or the masks or whatever that's going on.
And I think that's why I Got a Boy was such a huge hit, other than the fact that the music changes are constant throughout. But the fact that they up until that point they did kind of present themselves as, kind of girls next door, kind of not plain but not like super abstract, like some K-pop artists. And then when I Got a Boy came out, it's very bright and very loud and very unorthodox. But also very cool. So I think that video kind of like put them on a map as being bold, but not to the point where people are like, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Like, you can still see their cute girl group qualities in that kind of abstract or that kind of big, colorful music video. I think that's probably their most adventurous video out of all of them, out of all the ones they've done.
That one was as bubblegum pop K-pop crazy that they ever got, because I remember that was a huge thing, like bright colors, weird outfits, you know, every pop of things. I remember that was like a fad for a bit, and I knew that a lot of people got turned off from K-pop because of that fad, like, this is weird. But they did it in such a way that it made sense. And I think because it was kind of that crazy bubblegum pop in parts of it, but when like the tempo changed, like the scene changed, and when it kind of like normalized it or neutralized it, or it evened it out, so it wasn't too much of that stylized, overly poppy, very bright color colors everywhere. So just that whole music video, they did their company and all of the writers and everything for I Got a Boy did amazing for them, because that was, everything is so well done with that comeback, and people were talking about
it. What did you think of their kind of American debut with the boys? What did you think of that song? Bring the boys out.
So the boys, okay. That song was like, that song was my least favorite song. Mostly because it just, I don't know, it didn't really feel like them, if that makes sense. It just didn't feel like Girls' Generation to me. It wasn't bad. I'm not going to say it was bad, because it wasn't bad, but I didn't really like it.
it compared to their other stuff, it definitely felt forced. It definitely felt like them trying to break into the American market without having the goods that kind of got them to that point. But it did give them an excuse to appear on American television. So that, for me, that's you know, that warms my heart. I love the fact that they were on Kelly Ripa, the morning show with Kelly and I know it wasn't Regis at the time, it was just Kelly and Michael Strahan. The fact that they were on that show, and there was Girls' Generation fans in the audience doing fan chants, and no one knew what the hell was going on. That just tickles my heart. I love that fact.
Yeah, I mean, it's like watching CL be the first, because, sorry, going back to 21, it's like CL being the first Asian or a Korean artist to perform at, like, James Corden, and people had no idea what was going on when they performed. So, yeah, it was a very interesting, I think, yeah, we talked about Wonder Girls and how they toured with, like, Justin Bieber or something. I think they toured with Justin Bieber. I think it was Girls' Generation, not Girls' Generation, Wonder Girls. That was a time. That was because it was interesting seeing, like you said, Western people not knowing what the heck, what the crap's going on.
Yeah, what the small band of fanatic like Americans screaming back at the talent on stage in the audience. They kind of, I'm sure they were just like confused, like, what the hell is going on?
Why do you have light sticks? Why are they? Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes I feel like I'm a sadist because I get amusement out of watching people's confusion and like terror, like what's going on? Why are they singing? You know, seeing these culture clash. I don't even want to say they're clashes, just like the awkwardness of, you know, something new being introduced. It's like watching one of your two friend groups merging and like watching one friend group not know how to react to the other friend group. But yeah, it was very interesting. And I think the Western media is still really weirded out by it. And I mean, I think the show hosts have gotten used to it now, but like, yeah, back then it was very much an experience. And I kind of miss those days sometimes. Kind of miss people being like confused, but watching these groups, because it's also and I remember a lot of fans were very proud because they're like, oh, we're gonna show the Western music industry what true actual artists and talent looks like, because you know very few of our artists actually sing and dance, you know, or you know, put on actual performances, which is why people like K-pop. At least that's why I like K-pop. I like the dances and I like being entertained by my entertainers, you know. And you know, they're all very pretty and they're all in sync and they're all just, everything's flawless and well-oiled machine. And I'm just sad that I'll never get to see Girls' Generation in a concert live, or any of these second geners, because they don't come over here.
Yeah, you know? they came to KCON in New York. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was in May, 5 years ago. And I was like, and leading up to that point, I'm like, oh my God, this is great. I'm on the East Coast. Girls' Generation is going to be on stage. Like, this could be my one opportunity to see them live on stage. And it turns out my best friend was getting married that day. So I had to go to the wedding. There's no way I was going to be like, dude, I can't be at your wedding because yeah. Girls' Generation is going to be in New York.
I want to watch nine girls.
Yeah, yeah. There was no way that conversation was going to happen. So that I very distinctly remember that. That was my opportunity to see them. But I am hoping that, you know, with K-pop being such a big force in America now, that the subunit the five girls will come back to KCON, or maybe we'll get a full eight, or God help me, a full nine, or OT9 group reunion. And maybe they'll do a few stops in America. You know, I can keep my fingers crossed. I thought Wonder Girls was done for. So when they came back and put out a new album, that blew my mind. So anything is possible, as far as I'm concerned.
Got to hold on to that hope, you know. And I think really with SM, with what they're doing, they're really testing the waters over here in America with like Super M. So I think if Super M does well, that they're more likely to send mm-hmm. their other groups mm-hmm. over here. So fingers crossed for that, because I would love to see Wonder Girls in person. Because they're still killing it, you know. I have a list of like second gen groups I would love to see in concert, but you know, it's really up to their company. And if they don't think they're gonna make a profit over here, they're not gonna send them. And I can't go to cake. I mean, I guess I could if California, you know, these states ever open again. My whole problem was like, when KCON first started, it was cheap. It was like $7 a ticket or $15, like super cheap. And I always wanted to go, but my problem is that nobody wanted to go with me, and I'm not going to fly to like California or New York by myself just to go see these K-pop artists. I'm like, no, the world's not that safe of a place, and I don't feel comfortable, you know, traveling by myself. And this was like before Uber too. So I was like, I have to figure out how to get there and how to get back. And, you know, it was just a mess, but yeah. You know, the lucky for third, you know, hold out hope, but I don't know.
You know, with SM, with them, you know, being the large corporation that they were, that they are, one of their, they did do a, you know, SM Town in New York, which is where that great DVD came from, where it was a, you know, full concert, Madison Square Garden, and FX and Shiny and BoA, Girls' Generation, like all of their artists were all, you know, under one roof in one concert. So fingers crossed they at some point get to do that again, just so they could say, okay, America, we're not gonna put everyone out in different times, but here's one concert where you'll get to see Super M, and you get to see the remaining members of Girls' Generation, and you'll get to see Red Velvet, and here's our new, you know, SM girl group or whatever. So I'm fingers crossed that when the world opens back up, SM will do something like that.
Yeah, and I want them to. I would kill to be at that concert, because you just named like quite a few groups that I love. I'm even starting to like really like Super M, oddly enough. And I like Girls' Generation, and if we could throw in some Super Junior, I mean, that would be my dream concert. And I would spend 3 days there. But yeah, it's second gen. If you people who are new to you know, K-pop should definitely check out second gen groups, because they are, I maybe because I'm old, but I think they're better than the current groups. I'm just gonna throw that out there, personally, because I don't know, there's just, it's my style of music.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's the musical styles. Back then you could get away with doing a bunch of different things, different kind of genres and different kind of styles, and they'll kind of pinpoint it to fit the artist. And nowadays, and it's not just in K-pop, it's in all music, you have to be kind of fashionable, or you have to do what's the latest thing, what's the hottest trend right now. And you know, it loses a little bit of the personality in the music, but again, it's not just K-pop, that's I think all types of music. But back then, which was one of the other reasons why I fell into K-pop, is because you could do so many different genres. One group can do so many different genres, and it would all kind of fit, and it would all be fun, and you'd never know like what you would be getting when they were gonna have a comeback.
Yeah, because yeah, it was like a grab bag. Like, I could just see the CEO just pulling and put his hand in one of those boxes and pulling out a thing. It's like, we're doing this stuff. You know, skinny dartboards, and they have all these like concepts and things, and they just throw dart, like that's what we're doing. Yep. You know? We're doing a heavy rock song in pink tutus, okay, let's go. You know, it was great. It's a great time to be alive. K-pop stan. So any final thoughts on Girls' Generation?
Yeah, I will like to say a good way, if you're not like if you're, you know, getting into Girls' Generation, and you know, you kind of want to get like a really good experience, a lot of their concerts are usually filmed, like their tours, and those you can usually catch those on YouTube. I've watched a lot of Girls' Generation concerts on YouTube because people have uploaded them. So then it's a good way to get a good sense of all of their different songs. All of the different genres, like we were saying before. And I will say, as much as I love their Korean albums, their Japanese albums are so good. I don't know why they're aimed in that audience as like a little bit more adventurous, but like you can put on one of their Japanese albums and like every single song is a banger. And it's like, how are all of these songs good? And then you get to the Korean albums and they're a lot more traditional, a lot more like mixed, you know, different flavors, but all very traditional. And then you get to the Japanese one and there's like these crazy samples, and they can do anything with those albums. So I would say definitely check out their Korean albums, but definitely check out their Japanese albums. Oh my god, those are some of my favorite Girls' Generation songs ever.
Yeah, I actually agree. A lot. I'm not just saying it because I understand Japanese, but albums. I think. Okay, I'm gonna throw something out there that people can attack. Don't attack me for it, because I love the Korean language. I really do. I think it's awesome and beautiful, and I'm trying to learn it, and I suck at it. I know that, and my pronunciation is awful, and I'm really working on it. I am, but but Japanese. Just how they speak, I have to agree that the albums are, I love the Japanese albums a lot, and the Japanese versions of songs a lot as well, sometimes a lot more than the originals. But Japanese as a language, if you actually like listen to it, and Korean, Japanese has more of a, I want to say, melodic tone to it when you speak it. It kind of flows more musically, I guess. I can't express it too much. And Korean's a little bit more hard or sharp, I want to say. So in singing, it's not as like soft and melodic. That's why I think the Japanese ones, because they just flow better, because of the language. It's the same with like listening to German songs. German, there's nothing wrong with German's awesome, but it kind of has that like harder edge to it, and it's just how the language is, and how it developed. And I think that's why, with like, and then knowing things about music and like Eastern music and how Western music developed, and now they're singing in like Western keys and major and minor and whatnot, which is a very Western creation musically, because if you listen to like old sorry, I'm going into my music knowledge. I apologize. But like if you listen to like old and traditional Korean music and Asian music, to Western people, you kind of, when you're, if you're not used to it, you kind of like flinch at it, because it sounds off key. You know what I'm talking about?
Really? No, I would think that it would sound more like well, okay, so I don't know anything about music at all, like composition or anything, but Korean songs sound more like C, D, E, G. They sound like more like level, not a lot of like C sharps or not a lot of changes like that. At least that's my view on it, but again, I don't know anything about music. But I can, if you listen to a Korean song and you can hear like how the song is building up, you kind of have an idea of where the next, what the next melody is going to sound like, because of it follows a really kind of traditional pattern, I guess you could say.
And I'm more of like talking like old trot music. I'm not the modern stuff, but like the old school trot.
Oh,
That's what I'm talking about. Like
gotcha. Yeah,
older
yeah.
stuff, traditional music. If you listen to the traditional music, because Western music was introduced when Westerners were there and whatnot, so like the language developed with that, and the music developed with the language. And anyway, sorry, I'm going off on a tangent. I'm just going to drop it. I just think the Japanese sounds more melodic than Korean does. I'm not saying one better is better than the other. I'm just saying that if you listen to it just sounds a little more melodic, because Korean's a little more throaty. As a
Yeah,
language,
I see.
and I'm not better than the other. I'm just saying that's why I think the Japanese is just more pleasing to my ears. If you disagree, that's fine, because like I said, it's an opinion. It's not fact.
Well, I would say my take on it is if you're going on a road trip with your family and you're going to listen to Girls' Generation, you can listen to their Korean albums in the car, and they're fun, and the family will listen to them. But if you're going out that night, if you're leaving your family behind and you're going out to like dance and have a good time, the Japanese albums are the way to go. That's the difference for me.
And I'm getting overly technical and just talking too much. So, I'm sorry. But yeah, definitely check out both Girls' Generation. Very relevant, still really good. I want them to come back. I want to see them in live and in concert. Yeah, and they're just fun. I like them as a group, and just watching their stuff. Also check out some of their commercials, because they're on like so many different commercials for different things. It's great. So anyway, with
You know what?
that.
I realized after watching their commercial for the because one of the other things about K-pop is that that they don't just make commercials, they'll make a music video around that product. So you'll get
Oh,
like
yeah.
a 3-minute commercial with an amazing song. Thank God they don't do that over here, because I was totally ready to buy a cell phone from Girls' Generation because I love that song so much. Like that, it would have worked on me.
Exactly. And I think they also have one for Thai Airlines. I don't even remember the song. I just remember them going on a trip and they're just in the airplane having a good time. And then the lady, they bow to each other. And it's like Thai Airlines and they're on the plane. They have the music. And I'm like, oh, this is an airline commercial. I'm like, okay, awesome. But yeah, I would buy so much stuff. I
Seriously.
wouldn't even. It's once again, I'm gonna be talking about, I just keep going to the dark side of K-pop and I apologize, but for today's special little K-pop term of the day, we're gonna talk about something that actually happened to Girls' Generation way back in the day when they were rookies, in the Dream concert. I think it was, they were only around for like a year. I think this happened in like August and they debuted in August. So it's August, I think it was August 2008. So they've only been around for a year. Have you heard about this? The they had something called a Black Ocean. Have you heard of that before,
Yeah,
Mark?
I was hope yeah, I was hoping you were going to bring this up. This is I just brought tears to my eyes because I kind of forgot about it before, but doing a research for the show, I came across it again. Oh God, it's such a good story.
Yeah, so they So yeah, I wanted to bring it up because I want to talk about this term. A black ocean, it's super, super rare. It is because you have to, in order to do a black ocean, you have to get all of these different fandoms to agree to do it. And that is like almost impossible. I've only ever heard of it happening once, and it's two Girls' Generation when they were rookies. And it still makes me tear up because watching their performance, because you can hear their voices start to crack and you can see them start to cry. Like their eyes start to get all watery. It's so sad. And they still performed and they nailed it. But oh, it's so sad. Like, so anyway, like a black ocean, like we said, everyone has a fan, like a light stick at these concerts. Everyone has a light stick. And all of the groups have their special colors. Back in the day, they don't really do this anymore. They kind of mix everyone in. And I think because of this, they mix everyone in. They used to have specific sections for specific fandoms. So a fandom would all be sitting with their other fandoms. They wouldn't have like BTS Army sitting with like XOLs from EXO. You know, they didn't do that. You would have your assigned seat. Like, oh, okay, so Sones are sitting over here, and you know, X, you know, the Elfs are sitting here. So anyway, they were at this, I believe it's 2008 Dream concert. And like I said, they were rookies. They were performing with Super Junior, DBSK, and I want to say Double S 501. I don't know if Wonder Girls were there, but anyway, a lot of different groups. So anyway, they go up to perform and they got a black ocean. Everyone turned their light sticks off. Everyone. It was completely black except for the little spot where the stone. And because they're a rookie group, they had very few fans. Like it's a little spot in this arena. So this entire arena is just pitch black except for the little fandom. And so it, and they didn't, some fans were so mean that they were actually chanting Wonder Girls at them, which is so mean. So sad.
That
It's
is
just,
mean, but that probably would have been me had I been there. Hello,
you,
my
Mark,
Wonder Girls.
you there. But yeah, like they started to kind of cry, and I was like, oh my gosh, because I don't even know what happened, and I don't care, because taking your frustration out on the idols when you're actually angry at their fandom is inexcusable. It'd be like punching, like you're angry at one kid's older brother, so you punch the little brother. You don't do that. The little kid, they're not involved. You know, it's not their fault that their fandom's acting out if they're acting out. So it's just, it was so sad. And yeah, a black ocean, everyone just turned the lights off. It's so dark, you can't see anyone. You know, it's quiet. It's just, it is the worst possible thing that can happen to a K-pop idol. And I think I think that's why they mix everyone in now, so that they have spots, and it's not just it's impossible to have a black ocean now, thankfully. And I have never heard of a group getting this. I mean, they're rookies. What could they have possibly have done to
Well,
make
I think it was part of I think it might have been one of the commercials that they were in with one of the boy groups, or one of the duets with the boy group. Because I do remember there was a lot of fan hatred because of attention that they were getting from a boy group or from either a commercial or a music video that had to do with a different boy group. I know that was like the impetus for that, and then it just kind of spread throughout all of the other fandoms.
think, yeah, I'm looking it up, and now people are back then, because they were both SM. It was said that some of the mem a picture of that's what it was. A picture came out of one of the members with a member of Super Junior and DBSK. So the people found out that while they were trainees, they were friends with DBSK and Super Junior, which makes sense because they're the same company. So they would be training together. So, but also they had other rumors that like people didn't like them because they were Wonder Girls' rivals, and
It's like I said, man, either Yankees or Red Sox, you got to pick a team. Everyone had their Wonder Girl already.
guess I've always been a multi, so I just don't under. I mean, I get it, but I don't. I mean, I'm like, okay, but I felt bad because I'm like, you don't have to like them, but they're still people with feelings. And I mean, how would you feel if you were up on stage and you work 12 hours a day and no one's cheering except for your little group? It would have been devastating. And you're new. Oh, just breaks my heart. Just because I'm always afraid when I watch like award shows, even though it hasn't happened in like, I've never heard of it happening since then. But like, I'm always afraid that this is going to happen, and I'm like, I'm going to watch your rookie group just crumble. I'm like, cry. I don't want to see that. But yeah, Black Oceans are terrible, and it just fan wars have always been going on because people. It's just human nature. You pick a team, like you said, you pick a team, and there's no real reason that you hate the other team besides that they're not your team.
Exactly.
I was like, yeah. So Black Ocean's very rare, but everyone in the K-pop fandom community is always afraid that it's going to happen to their group, and or some people even try to like orchestrate them. It never happens, but or almost never happens, I'm going to say, because you have to get like everyone else's fandom to be on board with it, which is really hard. But yeah, Black
But
Ocean's everyone.
the flip side of that is 5 years later, Dream Concert 2013, Girls' Generation hit the stage with that song, The Boys. And they showed the audience. And even then, it was still divided up between the different fandoms. But when they hit the stage, you could barely hear the girls singing because the entire stadium, like when the beat dropped, everybody's light stick was going in unison. Like it wasn't just the pink section, it was every section. And to see them come that far, to see them get to the point where, they had the Black Ocean in 2008, 2013, the entire stadium was losing their mind over them. And it was so visually apparent when you compare the two scenes. It warmed my heart. I was so proud of them. If that was a movie, that would be like the ending scene of the movie. I was so proud of them to get to that point where, they proved themselves. It took 5 years, but and kind of an odd song to do it. But they proved themselves with that performance. It's one of my favorite things that out of K-pop.
Yeah, it is heartwarming. But yeah, it's definitely like Black Ocean to Pink Ocean, and it's just it's a beautiful thing. Beautiful things happen, and true underdog story, and I love underdog stories. I mean, underdog, they're still part of SM, but you know what I mean. Black Ocean's really rare. Everyone turns the light sticks off, and it's really sad when it does happen, and I never want to see that happen again. But people are like that, so we'll see. But anyway, thank you guys once again for joining us. I am Freya, and you can catch me on the Definitive Crusade as well, talking about everything DC comic related. And what do you have going on in the podcast world, Mark?
Yep. So I still have my other show, So Wizard Podcast, every week. Me, Joe, and Aubrey get together and talk about nerdy stuff. We review movies and TV shows and, you know, just see what's going on in a world of nerd. Occasionally, I like to sneak a little K-pop in there, but mainly it's just geeky stuff. One of the last ones we did was a review of, because there's no movie theaters open, we don't go to the movies. Obviously, so we've been reviewing a lot of movies on Netflix. And the last one we did was Django Django, A Christmas Journey. So we did a full review of that, and we talk about nerdy news.
Sweet. And once again, I want to say thank you, everyone. And I want to say, just because if you're getting into K-pop, just because your group is not popular, I mean, who cares? They're your group, you know. Doesn't matter if anyone else likes them. If you like them, that's all that matters, you know.
That's
so great. Yeah, and you don't have to agree with me on groups. If you don't like Girls' Generation, I mean, it's totally on you. I mean, if everyone liked the same thing, it would be a very, it'd be like that Fairly Odd Parents where everyone was a gray blob, you know. It'd be very boring. So differences make the world beautiful, and you know, just that if you don't agree, just go, okay, you know. That's your life. You know. So anyway, I hope you guys have a good rest of the month, and yeah, just you do you.
Bye, everyone, and listen to some K-pop, for crying out loud.
Definitely.